Hello, you are listening to OmniTalk's Retail Fast Five, brought to you in partnership with the A&M Consumer and Retail Group, Avalara, Wiliot, TGW, and Sezzle. Ranked in the top 10% of all podcasts globally and currently ranked the number one podcast, that's right, in all of retail by FeedSpot. The Retail Fast Five is a podcast that we hope makes you feel a little smarter, but most importantly, a little happier each week too. Today is April 24th, 2024. I'm your host, Sam Mazinga.
And I'm Chris Walton.
And we are here once again to discuss the most important headlines from the past week that highlight how the physical, digital, and human elements of retail are coming together to shape the future. Chris, we're coming to the listeners live from Milwaukee. Some may call it the Paris of the Midwest.
Right. The Courtyard by Marriott in Milwaukee on Michigan Street. And yes. I loved how you emphasized ranked in that opening too. You put a little more emphasis on the R. It was very strong sounding. It was great.
Okay.
Yes, I'm in my hotel room right now. For those watching on video, ladies, there's a bed beside me, so don't let your mind go wild, but hey.
Oh my God, are you for real, man?
Of course I am.
Chris.
But hey, it's Milwaukee, you gotta have fun with it, and you know, you don't get to go to Milwaukee every day. It's only my second time in my life I've been in Milwaukee. Your second time too, right?
Yeah, so we were joking, like the last time I was here was touring Marquette University's broadcast journalism program back when I was in high school. So not just years, but decades ago, Chris. Yes, yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, it's funny. I was last year in 2013 for my wife's dental school reunion.
That's right. Yeah, because she went to Marquette, right?
She went to Marquette too. Yeah, so two Marquette stories bring us to Milwaukee. And now we're in Milwaukee for the same reason, because we're giving a big bad keynote presentation today.
Yeah, to listener Corey Savine, who has been a longtime follower of the Retail Fast Five. So shout out to Corey and to the entire car team that we're going to be into today. So Chris, let's get to the headlines.
Okay, and let's get to the headlines. All right, today we've got news on Grubhub's new Mercado partnership, Amazon's new low-cost subscription grocery delivery plan, Instagram getting AI-powered search, and close with a look at the Wall Street Journal report from last week that Walmart, Amazon was running a secret operation.
It's one or the other. It's going to be one or the other,
right? Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, right. That's a good point. That they were running a secret operation to gain intel on its rivals. A story that's just so crazy that Ann and I had to talk about it. But we begin today with big news out of Walmart, actually Walmart this time.
Actually Walmart, yes. Headline number one, Chris, Walmart-backed FinTech One has introduced a new buy now, pay later solution as it prepares a bigger push into lending. According to CNBC, Walmart's majority-owned FinTech startup One has begun offering buy now, pay later loans for big ticket items at some of the retailers' more than 4,600 U.S. stores. The move puts One in direct competition with Affirm, who was previously the BNPL leader and exclusive provider of installment loans for Walmart customers since 2019. One's expanded role at Walmart increases the possibility that the company could force Affirm, Capital One, and other third parties out of some of the most coveted partnerships in American retail, and could be the clearest sign yet at One's ambition to become a financial super app, a mobile one-stop shop for saving, spending, and borrowing money. Chris, this is quite the slapback from Walmart.
Ooh.
Slapback. Yeah, like, man, this is pretty much a doozy. What do you think of this headline?
Slapback and doozy to start the show. All right.
I mean, I don't even know what else you use. I don't know what else you use to describe this move. But
and side note too, you know what I don't like about doing these recordings from room is the hotel desk chair is like so noisy and so creaky, you know, and like bends back and forth. They got to keep it straight so I can't move at all to like not distract the audio. But hey, we're gonna roll with it. I'm literally not gonna roll with it, but all right, so yes, doozy, slapback. I don't know what does slapback mean. I'm not familiar with it.
I mean, I feel like it's like the like a jilted lover, like,
oh,
you're gonna do me, I'm gonna do you. This is how, but like, I don't understand what was like, they just weren't making money. I don't know. Like, why would you?
Because they want to make more money, and that's always what it's
that's
about.
True.
It's always
that's
about
true.
Making more money. The number one answer to anything in life is money for the most part when you look at motivations. All right. Well, so for me, I mean, my summary is that I think this is just another example of Walmart kicking ass and taking names. I love this. We first got introduced to this general idea about, I think it was like 3 years ago, right? And when we did the podcast with Alvier, and I met them on a call, and I came running in the room being like, this is the embedded finance is the coolest thing I've heard about in a long time. It's going to change retailers. The retailers that get it are going to be ahead of the game. And Walmart clearly is. So, and they're the only retailer of note too, possibly with the exception of Amazon, that appears to be seeing what we were like foreseeing 3 years ago, but they're doing it on a grand scale. That's what's impressive here. Which means, I mean, the article talks about this, but man, this is tough sledding ahead for Affirm, Capital One, because Walmart also seems like it's going to look into its own credit financing too through this. And so that explains all the noise on the Capital One story that we covered a few months ago on the podcast. So we were sensing all along that this was at play. We talked about this same idea of embedded finance there too. So now this is the thing that really captivates me, Ann. Mm-hmm. If you're keeping score at home, and you say, where is Walmart's growth going to come from? Look at the four branches of growth they've now got lit up. They've got a marketplace, right? Very formidable marketplace at this point in time. They've got a retail media network which now with Vizio, who knows where that goes too, but very strong positioning there too. They've got their own tech play with Walmart Commerce Technologies, which we're meeting Anshu Bardwaj tomorrow to talk to her about an upcoming webinar she's going to do with us, explaining everything they're doing there as well. And then now they're in banking, Ann. So how many other retailers can point to all four of those things? I mean, the only one I can come up with, again, is Amazon. And most of them have barely two of those ideas in play, let alone four. So that's what's so impressive to me.
Yeah, especially the maturity that each one of those items have come to, Walmart and Amazon. I mean, everyone else
scale,
is just catching up, right? And let's not forget healthcare too, Chris. I mean, that's thing too.
Yeah,
like
about that.
That's the huge
gotta
part of this.
My notes, Ed.
right. Plus, you know, I mean, not that this is at, you know, I always like to like make some prognostications about where this stuff could go, but let's not forget like the go-to for home services, like HVAC installation, like we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Like, I think when you pause and you think about this for a minute and where this could go, I think this sets Walmart up to squarely offer so many of the individuals who are unbanked in this country, which, you know, especially as you get out and with 46 plus stores, like you have access to so many people across the entire country. And now you're setting up for them to potentially have one payment plan for all of their needs. They haven't added groceries yet, but once groceries come into this, you think about healthcare payments, you think about household goods and services. Like if you're doing all of this banking through Walmart One, which I just was there at Walmart with my son getting a video game last weekend, like it's super simple and easy to use. Like,
did you use it?
I did not use it.
Oh, because you would have if you had known. But if you
I
had
would
known
have, I would
break.
Have. Yeah. But this was like a serious birthday cash transaction that was happening. So,
oh yeah, you were
I
educating
was not
the
involved.
Youngsters on this one. Yes, right. I got you.
But I mean, when you just think about the ease and simplicity of having one place to go that doesn't care about what your credit score was or is, you know, like it's giving you access to this money in the sense that lets you get through and, you know, get access to money and live better, which is just an extension of Walmart's, you know, overall mantra. So I love it. I think there's a ton of potential if they can start to bring in some of these other things like the services, the healthcare, the grocery, et cetera.
Well, 100%, even remember Tom Burgess from Snip Media on the podcast talking about all the untapped opportunity there are for CPG brands to get into the banking's loyalty networks. Mm-hmm. Like Walmart can essentially do that with this directly one-to-one with their customers. So
that's a great point.
This is absolutely massive. And these are the other thing about these are billion-dollar growth ideas too, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the thing. And the healthcare is a great extension. Like, man, Walmart, Doug McMillon, he wins it every year by default, and but he's the CEO of the year again for me. All right. Headline number two. Grubhub has expanded into grocery delivery via a new partnership with Mercado. According to Chain Storage, Grubhub, which began as a restaurant delivery service, but also fulfills orders from drugstore and convenience retailers such as CVS and 7-Eleven, is now delivering products from Mercado's participant base of more than 950 grocery, convenience, and alcohol retailers. Now, Grubhub customers can order from hundreds of independently owned retailers that are available on the Mercado delivery platform, with all Mercado retailers joining the partnership over the next few years. To order from a Mercado retailer via Grubhub, customers can select the grocery button within the Grubhub app and online, where all available Mercado retailers will be accessible. Customers who are members of the Grubhub Plus paid membership service will have access to $0 delivery fees on eligible orders from participating Mercado retailers. And yes, you're kind of in this space a lot. So I'm curious, what do you think this announcement says about the future of grocery delivery more broadly?
Look, I think this is a great move for everyone involved. I think it makes complete sense for Grubhub to stand out as a true competitor now with DoorDash and Uber Eats. And I love the visibility and the access to really a fulfillment offering that most of these regional or independent grocers probably aren't going to invest in because they can't make that pencil on their own. But, you know, here's what my question is, Chris. I think what I'm curious, now that you have Grubhub truly kind of coming in to be a more apples to apples competitor with the other DoorDash and Uber Eats,
right,
is like, now how do they continue to differentiate themselves? Because they're all, you know, around that $9.99 per month offering.
Right.
I think that it's going to come down to like what we talked to Bharat Pulgam at Buncha about. I think it's going to start coming down to service being a key component. Like, how do you get these goods? Mm-hmm. What are they, what incentives are they giving the gig workers that work for them in order to kind of one up that like delivery experience? Or, you know, Grubhub is even doing, like they mentioned, like with their program, they do like cash back or charitable components, because now it's like a neck race for me between like what makes the most sense for each of those delivery providers. And I don't know that just, you know, offering the access to this local grocery delivery will quite be enough. So I think
if it pushes it over the hump. Yeah.
But all in all, like, great for these independent grocers, great for Grubhub here. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think it's particularly interesting when we go to our next headline too, where we're going to talk about Amazon and their new subscription service. Cause I think you're onto something. And, you know, the whole point is like, how many of these do we need? And that's what I took away from this story too, which when you talk about the grocery delivery landscape more broadly, particularly when the retailers are in this game too, but when you look at the retail landscape more broadly, it's showing me that the value is now starting to be seen from everyone in terms of consolidation. I mean, because you could argue that these two companies were kind of frenemies to some extent too, and they're now collaborating to say, hey, there's strength in numbers here. So, I mean, we've always known that delivery is a scale game. The thing that has become very palpably apparent to me over the last couple months is it's also now a scale game for another reason, and that is retail media. Mm-hmm. As a loyal Great fan point. Pointed out to us last week in a very long string of texts, and kudos to him to us. I love when he does that. He always like gets my mind going on things. And it was in regards to the Gopuff headline last week. And his point was really, that's all about the first party data play for advertisers, right? Gopuff has first party data, and that's what they're doing there. And so, you know, the same can be said here for the long-term theory for that applies here with what Grubhub's doing with Mercado and Mercado vice versa, and who knows how they're going to split out the data and all that. So that's what's going on here. And that's what I find is interesting, is there's going to be a ton of consolidation in this space. The point about the restaurant delivery is what I still find fascinating, because there still are only a few players that really hold that space, right? There's Grubhub, DoorDash, and Uber Eats, right? Because Instacart's not really in that space.
No.
Yet all these other, and those ones I mentioned also have the marketplaces to deliver from retailers themselves too. So I wonder too, if at some point there isn't a retailer that says, okay, how do we partner up with the DoorDash or the Grubhub? I mean, Grubhub is with Amazon, so that's a important point. But like, you know, does somebody go and acquire one of them to get the one-stop shop super app for third-party delivery, inclusive of the restaurants, into their fold? I don't know. It's a pretty aggressive move. Is that a move like a Walmart makes again or something to that effect? Do they need it? I don't know, especially with Mark Lori sitting there with his Wonder app and trying to do the same thing. So who the hell knows? But I doubt Walmart's going to bet on that again. But yeah, it's fascinating for all those reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the acquisition component brings up another interesting question. And again, don't know how this factors in with the entire business model. But one thing that we've heard is that another key kind of decision factor for the restaurants, for the retailers, is how much of a cut of the revenue that Grubhub, Uber Eats, or that DoorDash is taking from these transactions that's happening too. And I wonder if, you know, you don't have a larger conglomerate like a Walmart or something that's kind of bringing this under the umbrella, if you couldn't get more scale with this and then as a result be able to, you know, kind of offer better things to get exclusive partnerships with some of those grocers or with some of those retailers or restaurants that, you know, are really kind of deciding like how many of these platforms can we be on, what makes sense financially for us too. So there's a lot of heat in this space. I love it. All right, let's go to headline number three, continuing in this thread. Amazon has launched a low-cost grocery delivery subscription plan in the U.S. According to Reuters, Amazon launched a new grocery delivery subscription on Tuesday in the U.S. for members of its Prime program and customers who are recipients of the government food assistance benefits. The subscription plan would allow Amazon's members to get unlimited grocery delivery at $9.99 per month on orders over $35 from Whole Foods Market, Amazon Fresh, and other local grocery and specialty retailers on the platform, including Save Mart, Bartell Drugs, Rite Aid, and Pet Food Express. The service will be available in over 3,500 cities and towns across the country, and Amazon's offering also includes one-hour delivery windows at no extra cost and unlimited 30-minute pickup on orders of any size. Low-income citizens who rely on the government's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, to support their grocery budgets only have to pay a reduced $4.99 fee per month for the same perks and do not require a Prime membership. Chris, let's keep this conversation going. Yeah. Where does Amazon stand here with this new $10 a month grocery offering?
Yeah, I think, man, I mean, we kind of knew this was coming. We talked about this on a past show too. I don't love this. In fact, even as you're reading the press release, like the inclusion of Save Mart and Bartell Drugs and Rite Aid and Pet Food Express is, that's like just trying to sound like something that you're not. It's like trying to sound like you're Instacart or DoorDash or you know, Shipt that has access to all these other retailers on their platform, which effectively you don't, because no retailer wants to do this with Amazon. You know, no one's going to say, yeah, let me sell my goods through you. Have your service come in and get them for me. Like, that's not going to happen. So like, I said it before, I'll say it again, and I think this is the single best advertisement in the history of advertising for Walmart Plus. It 100% is. Like, Walmart Plus is already cheaper, $98 versus $139. You get gas discounts, you get scan and go checkout. And here's the other point, which I think is funny when you read this press release. There are 5,000 Walmarts throughout the country where you can elect curbside pickup, which they're talking about is an explicit feature of this program.
Yeah.
Whole Foods and Amazon Fresh, there's 40 Amazon Fresh stores in the United States, right? I don't even think there's 1,000 Whole Foods stores. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's not. So like, it just pales in comparison to what's being offered from the competitor here. And so net, when I step back from all the announcements going on in grocery with Amazon here, taking this out of the delivery war game, to me, they feel absolutely lost in grocery. Like, absolutely lost, like without a compass, lost without an astrolabe, without a map. Insert your navigational device of your choice, and that's how I feel about this. Like, I mean, I don't understand how this is competitive. It, you know, even if you look at the options outside of Walmart too, which I know you want to talk to, like, and you've already kind of alluded to it, like, how is this competitive to what everyone else is doing? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense. I mean, not that I'm like the model citizen for delivery here, but I think if I would be doing what I'm doing and what our family does, which is, yes, we have a Prime membership, but I am getting much, much more value out of 10 extra dollars a month out of my DoorDash subscription than I am out of an Amazon grocery delivery subscription for all the reasons that we just talked about. Access to restaurants, access to delivery from Dick's Sporting Goods, from Sephora, from PetSmart, like all these other options that I can get delivery in that within that short delivery window on my terms and with other discounts that they fold in, like that's giving me more benefit actually than I think adding on to the Amazon world. And second, like I have access on this platform, especially with Grubhub, to regional grocers whose stores.
Yeah, why wouldn't you just go with Grubhub over this? Like,
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah,
yes,
I don't know.
Grocery delivery plus, because you still have all these other things that you're not currently getting access to, you know, 1 hour delivery from with the other platforms. So I think, you know, the point here is like, not a lot of people in the rest of the country outside of Seattle, California and Chicago, DC, know what Amazon Fresh is, and a lot of people still don't feel comfortable with Whole Foods. Like they don't, they aren't regular
Right, the Whole
Whole
Foods,
Foods
yeah, I'm right,
shoppers
100%,
either.
yeah.
So again, it's like this partnership with Mercado makes so much more sense. Like I already go to that retailer. I know what the produce is going to look like when I get it because I've been there thousands of times. Now I just have this added convenience of getting it delivered to me. Again, plus other things with that Grubhub, DoorDash, or Uber Eats membership. So for me, this is like Amazon, you're trying, but it's not, you're not thinking about this the right way.
Yeah, and I'm going to double down on this too. Like, I think the really cynical side of me too, if I this announcement, it kind of feels like a dupe. Like, it's kind of like, oh yeah, you know, it doesn't cost us much money. It doesn't cost us much effort to charge people for this. We don't think that many people will probably want it ultimately, but hey, those suckers that want to pay us for it, let them pay us for it. Let them pay it. Let them pay it. Like, you know, all those, you know, affluent Whole Foods customers that want their food delivered, just let them pay us. It's fine. You know, that's kind of how I think about this. I mean, do you agree with that? I mean,
yeah, I do. I mean, it's true.
Do.
Amazon form, like, I mean, they could just cut it off later. And they had only tested this in like three markets, right? And so, you know, yes, sure, it's working in those three markets.
Yeah, I know that.
What's the access to and like shopper penetration in a Whole Foods in those markets compared to like Nebraska, you know, or like the Dakotas or something that,
yeah.
You know,
right. For how experimental, air quotes, Amazon is. Yes. The allusion to the experiment or the test for this was a little weak too, I think, as well. Yeah. Wow. Not like there's a lot not to love about this announcement in the end of the day. All right. Headline number four, Instagram plans to add new AI powered search features. According to the Daily Star, shout out to the Daily Star for their first time appearance in the OmniTalk Fast Five. With this feature, users can initiate conversations with an AI chatbot and enter unique search queries to find photos and reels. For example, if a user types in a prompt like beautiful Maui sunset reels, something I've typed in quite often, Anne, they can access relevant reels content fitting the requested theme and subject matter. And I'm curious, do you think this is just another example of the often heard refrain of AI is getting overhyped? Or do you think there's something to this headline?
Oh, no, I think this is brilliant. I love it. I think, you know, we've talked multiple times on the show. This is already the type of place where the next generation, even like millennials and Gen Xers are starting to do this too, where you're going for product recommendations and inspiration, restaurant recommendations, service discovery. Like, I think now with Gen AI being added into this, and I tried to upload or update it, I haven't been able to try this for myself quite yet. But I mean, I think you can, I just imagine like you take not sorry, I'm not concerned about Maui sunsets, but I think if
you're
taking,
not? Oh,
no,
God, with
no,
the program,
but
man.
if you take like restaurant search as a baseline, okay, like
all
typically
right.
I'll go into Instagram and I'll type in like if I'm going to be a place, look for a restaurant near where I'm going to be.
Right.
You have to scroll through reels and all kinds of things of people that you maybe don't know or do know. And so it's still time consuming.
Yeah.
I think right now, if you just search like best restaurants near me, you get that first display of things, then I think you can start having this conversational relationship with the Gen AI inside TikTok to help like continue to refine this. Like, does this place accommodate my gluten-free friend? Is there something similar but less expensive? Like, all of this is just going to continue to bolster and refine like what those search results are, making it a go-to destination for search from you know, just expanding that across all the generations. And I think takes what TikTok was doing with their search platform for creators and just pluses it up a notch, because now you can still like, you have all this data you're collecting about what people are interested in finding out. And like, you can get even more specific for the creators to create this content that people are looking for. But are you in the same realm as I am? Cause I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, no, I'm actually, as you're talking, Anne, I'm sitting back here and I'm like worried that I'm gonna lose you to the gram even more than I do. You know, for those listening, Anne, as soon as we get on a plane, she's on the gram. And if you give her this capability, like, oh my God, she's gonna get lost in the rabbit hole so fast. Cause you would do it exactly like you're describing it.
Yes.
Especially for restaurants. Yeah, 100% you would. You would do it exactly as you're describing it. And you honestly are probably waiting with bated breath to give this an honest go over time and to have it help improve your life. But to answer your question, I think generative AI is so underhyped. And for me and like the retail community, the way I think the retail community is looking at this, to me, it's like the movie Swingers. You remember the movie Swingers?
Yes.
Yeah. No one saw that movie in the theater. No one. And it wasn't until it went out on VHS, if you remember, VHS and then cable. And that thing up. And the same thing is going to happen here, especially in terms of generative AI's impact on search commerce in the long run. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Digital commerce is going to fundamentally change because of the intersection of two things. One is video commerce, and the second is what you just talked about, generative AI search. When those two things come together, there's going to be beautiful music that starts to play, and none of us know exactly what that's going to look like. So the question every executive listening to this podcast should be asking him or herself is this. They should be asking, how do we stay in front of this convergence and steal share from our competitors who will be slow to react? That's right. The question that should be on the table as you're thinking about how to defend yourself in the upcoming, what's going to be, I think, not just an evolution, but a complete revolution of how digital commerce is done. That's my take. And did I throw enough hyperbole
There's going to be posters of generative AI search all over college dorm rooms everywhere, just like there was from with the martini glass that was plastered all over dorm room walls.
Yes.
All right, Chris, let's go to headline number 5. The Wall Street Journal reported last week that Amazon staff went undercover on Walmart, eBay, and other marketplaces as a third-party seller called Big River. Their mission was to scoop up information on pricing, logistics, and other business practices. According to the journal, the operation called Big River Services International sells around $1 million a year of goods through e-commerce marketplaces, including eBay, Shopify, Walmart, and Amazon, under names such as Rapid Cascade and Svea Bliss, obviously.
Right, why not?
Born out of a 2015 plan codenamed Project Curiosity, Big River uses its sales across multiple countries to obtain pricing data, logistics information, and other details about rival e-commerce marketplaces, logistics operations, and payment services. Workers at Big River were given non-Amazon email addresses to use externally in emails with people at Amazon. They used their Amazon email addresses and took other extraordinary measures to keep the project secret. They disseminated their reports to Amazon executives using printed, numbered copies rather than email. And those who worked on the project weren't even supposed to discuss the relationship internally with most teams at Amazon. How was their cover blown, Chris, you might ask?
Yes,
did somebody
please tell me,
intercept the printed copies? Well, no. It appears that some of Big River's team members just couldn't help themselves and kept their Amazon profile as their employer on LinkedIn. All right, Chris, this is also A&M's put you on the spot question. A&M wants to know, many will struggle with the ethical dilemma of these tactics by Amazon. Where do you put this on the spectrum? Using a sports analogy from no big deal, you ain't cheating if you don't get caught, to corking bats and Spygate to performance enhancing drugs. I have lots of questions I want to ask you around this, Chris. So let's get started. Where do you sit with this Amazon conundrum and A&M's question on ethics? First, tell me what your thoughts are about this.
Well, Ann, before I give you my thoughts on this, I have a little confession to make. And so I got to get serious for a second.
Oh, jeez. You're talking about beds in the hotel room and now you're going to do confessionals?
I know. Yeah, it's what hotel are we at? It's like Hotel Confessions with Chris Walton. But no, I'm serious. I'm going to get serious for a minute. I get asked this question a lot. I get asked it a lot. Yes, and I am the grandson of Walmart's founder, Sam Walton. I was a longtime triple agent at Target. And now I report back to Doug McMillon regularly on what it takes to build a retail news powerhouse with just two people and a team of back office support in India. Doug and I, we don't communicate. We don't communicate by mail either. We don't go pedestrian like Amazon does in our covert operation. We communicate by burner phones. We go wire style, and that's how we communicate.
But God.
No, that's the point of this, right? Like, and for those of you that thought I'm serious, I'm absolutely not. I'm guessing no one did if you watch the show or listen to the show regularly. But this story, it's just so ridiculous to believe. For me, it speaks to like Amazon will go, they'll do anything to win. Is it a hard thing to do? Could other people do it? Yes. Have other people probably tried to do similar things? Yes. But for when I back and I look at this 30,000 foot view, when you have a pending lawsuit on monopoly power and anti-competitive practice, the optics of this are just absolutely awful.
Right.
And
yes.
So as my freshman English teacher Steve Silverdale used to say, honest to God, that was his name, Steve Silverdale used to say, a thousand lashes with a wet noodle, Amazon, because come on. I mean, this is just nuts.
I
Like, what?
mean, okay, so Chris, I have to ask because you, so here's where my mindset, like, yes, this is crazy, but like, let's really break it down. I have to like play devil's advocate a little bit here to try to
Oh,
understand
wow.
where this is
Okay.
going. But okay, so on one hand, you could consider this taking like comp shopping to the next level. And you like brought with all of the buyers that you used to work with, like you guys would do comp shopping. Everybody does comp shopping, like it across multiple industries, right? You're all kind of looking at the competitors' goods, you're breaking them down. But like, can you imagine, like, how, what, just, I'm just thinking of like the psychology of getting an employee at Amazon to do this work. Like, would you have reservations as like a boss asking people to do this or as an employee? Like, yes, I'll sign up to work for Big River. Like, I just, that's a part to me that I just don't understand. Like, as a human being and as a worker, I would just, there'd be so many red flags with this. I just don't know like where you cross the line from like we're just doing comp shopping to like now I'm actually posing as another person, another company, and like that to me, the ethical thing for me is like really what is concerning here or what I just don't understand. Like, and so I'm curious, like as a former manager of other buyers, like could you imagine presenting this and what kind of like consternation would you have as you think about this assignment if it were handed to you?
No, I can't. I mean, I can't. And to me, the parallels with comp shopping aren't even there. Like,
Okay.
comp shopping, you're going into a store, it's a publicly available store, you're just
Sure.
looking at product and prices. That's all you,
Okay.
that's all the information you're getting.
Okay.
With this is totally different. They're going in to learn the ins and outs of how marketplaces work, what's their structure, what's their service agreements, what's their penalties, all the different things that come with that. The amount of intel you're getting through this type of thing is astronomical compared to what I get in the average comp shop.
And then what about product design? Because that's another area too, where like we know that product designers are purchasing other things.
Yep.
They're trying to make their company's version. Like, does that change anything?
No, that's different to me too, because there are legal ramifications in place if someone
Okay.
is explicitly knocking you off, and you can take
Right.
them to court for that. So I'm curious what comes out of this too.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, yes, and everyone is doing that. That's where
Yes.
the lines get gray. Like,
Right.
everyone is doing that, but if you're doing it right, you're definitely not ripping it off 100%. For me, there was always some tweak that made it a little bit different. And for my position as a merchant at Target, it was always about giving the best value. So how do I do what they're doing and create some product that has another element of value for the same price? And so
Okay.
that's actually just innovation at the end of the
Yeah.
day, and the way I think about it. But the point about the how do you recruit this, I think is fascinating too. To me, it just starts with the top-down culture. If the top-down culture is bought into doing these types of things
Yeah.
and you're getting people into the organization, they're going to start to gravitate towards that cultural zeitgeist too. And I could easily see the pitch from the manager being like, hey, we got this project. You're hand selected for this because we trust that you have the ability to do what we need to do here to keep this secret, to keep it covert. Like, I
Yeah.
can totally hear that play. And I could totally see people lapping it up like milk on the stoop, because I probably would have too if I was like 26, 27 years old buying into the Amazon idea, right? And
Right,
getting stock prices
100%
accumulating
pursuit.
every
Yeah,
year over and
yeah,
over and again. I mean, this has been going on
yeah,
since 2016. Is that what you said? I
yeah,
mean, that
yeah.
was almost 10 years ago, the
Right.
height of Amazon. Amazon's at its power, at peak of its powers.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it all starts with the culture, and I could easily see how this would happen, ethics aside.
Right. Well, last question, Chris, too. So
Oh my
now
God, all right.
there's this movement of eliminating non-compete clauses. So brand, like you could as a brand, which everyone, you know, there's a lot of scenarios where like for this very reason, you don't want trade secrets being passed between companies. Like, what are your thoughts there? Like, so now they could, is that, does that make it more legal, I guess? Does that remove the gray from this? If like now you could just hire somebody to come over from Walmart, from eBay, from Shopify, and tell, and like, you know, their Amazon recruits them, and now they're just going into this and telling them all these things.
No, because non-compete is different than confidential information, right? And so, like, there's still legal recourses if someone thinks that you're handing over confidential information. So actually,
Sure.
that is still more protective in my mind than what you have going on here, because you're deliberately trying to find confidential or get access to confidential information in a way that you otherwise would not. So that's my take. But I mean, agree with anything. You just asked me three questions that I had I no know. Idea you were gonna ask me. So like,
I know.
Any points on what I said there?
No, but this is why I think this would be a great like debate team scenario. Like I can just see like the HBS business case for like, okay, what was Amazon right here? Was Amazon wrong? Where did they toe the line? Where did they cross it? Like, I don't know. I just, this to me, there's so many angles.
Oh yeah.
So fascinating.
I'm sure the Ayn Randers out there, like, you know, oh yeah, let Amazon, let the businesses do whatever the hell they want to do. They know what the, you know, capitalism, yay capitalism. Like, let's do this. But like, I don't know. I mean, it's just, the whole thing is just like, why do you need this Amazon? Like, you're already the most powerful retailer in the world. You've got all these lawsuits coming your way. This is just, I don't know. But yeah, not a good week for Amazon on the Fast Five.
No. Okay, Chris, let's go to the lightning round. Question number one. On Earth Day, hundreds of people went to the Mall of America at 6:30 in the morning, no less, to participate in their annual spring tradition of releasing ladybugs. This year, they released 144,000, the largest amount to date, which they use as natural pesticides for plants inside the mall. Chris, I want to know what sounds more terrifying, being trapped in a cage with 144,000 ladybugs or butterflies?
First of all, both sound horrible. It's like death by butterfly or death by ladybug. I mean, I think I'm
not death. You have to live. That's the problem.
I mean, I think I'd say for sure the butterflies, like that many ladybugs is disgusting. Although I would say that with the caveat, as long as James Gum from Silence of the Lambs is not involved in the butterfly containment operation. That's the only thing I don't want, Anne.
Oh, butterflies is the wrong answer. They're big. They're like wings are flapping you in the face. Like at least the ladybugs, you could like, they're like pebbles. You could like,
but they can't get in my nose, Anne. 140,000 ladybugs? Like,
yeah.
Or my crevices?
Gross. I didn't think about the orifices. Yeah, that's gross.
The orifices? Yes. Oh my God. All right. Next one. Let's keep going. Kevin Bacon returned to the Utah high school where they filmed Footloose this past week. And when I say the word Footloose, what is the first thing that you think of?
Oh, Kenny Loggins, man.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
God, I love Kenny Loggins. Such a great guy.
Do you? I didn't know you liked Kenny Loggins.
I could rock out to Kenny Loggins all day. I love that dude.
He is pretty great. He's pretty underselling.
Right. Yeah. Like I am already dancing to it from in my head. So yes, Kenny Loggins all day, but I'm sure your answer is
the movie theme song king, really. I mean, you gotta celebrate him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Chris, question number three. Paris Hilton, Whitney Cummings, and others will offer advice once again for the second iteration of Walmart's Mother of All Savings Memberships campaign. What's one piece of advice you would actually want from Paris Hilton?
I was telling you yesterday, like, your questions are so amazing. Like, where do you get these?
Don't even start to go down the twisted mind of Amazinga, Chris. It's a point of no return. You're not going to get back.
Oh, my God. I mean, the thing that I was thinking about with Paris Hilton is, didn't she have a chihuahua back in the day?
So, like, yes.
How to groom a hairless chihuahua? I think that would be my answer.
You think she grooms her own chihuahuas? She'll give you she will give you the good contact of a groomer in LA somewhere, I'm sure.
What? I don't remember. The dog had a name too. I wish I could remember what it was, but
yeah. If you remember the name of Paris Hilton's chihuahua, you send that in to us. We'll call you
like Mr. Peaches, something like that. If it's not, it should be. All right. And last one, the website linkedtarot.com will give you a tarot reading based on your LinkedIn profile. So last night I used yours. The archetype it returned for you was the magician. It said you had a, quote, diverse background in retail marketing and media production that is equipped you with a unique skill set that allows you to approach challenges from multiple angles, end quote. So my question is, knowing how you feel about magicians, how magical does what I just read make you feel?
I need a shower. I just like want to shower for my entire LinkedIn profile. I just need to like cleanse, like sage the whole LinkedIn profile. This is... Yeah, not a magician fan. I don't like being tricked. I don't like sleight of hand. I really just don't trust magicians. So thank you for making me recall one of my biggest fears. I'd rather be trapped in a cage with butterflies than a magician.
Then have to watch a magic show.
Yes.
That's so great. Oh my God. Yes. And for those interested, I did try it on myself too. And mine also came back as magician. So Let us know what yours comes back as, because if it's a magician, I got to question the way this thing works. All right. Happy birthday today.
That's what makes you question it. Not the overall concept, but if it's magician for everybody, the logic is flawed.
Right. Yeah, right. Definitely. Yes. It's overtly flawed. Yes. Oh my God. I got to bring it together for this show. What a great show. Happy birthday today to Kelly Clarkson, Barbara Streisand. Wow. And to the man who helped to make win a common exclamation on every golf course over the world over, I should say, Caddyshack's own Michael O'Keefe. The second Caddyshack reference to this show.
Oh my God, crazy.
After you sang the Kenny Loggins
theme song.
Yes. And remember, if you can only read or listen to one retail blog in the business, make it OmniTalk, the only retail media outlet run by two former executives from a current top 10 U.S. retailer. Our Fast Five podcast is the quickest, fastest rundown of all the week's top news. And our daily newsletter, the Retail Daily Minute, tells you all you need to know each day to stay on top of your game as a retail executive, and also regularly features special content that is exclusive to us and that Anna takes pride in doing just for you. Thanks as always for listening in. Please remember to like and leave us a review wherever you happen to listen to your podcast or on YouTube. For example, you can follow us today by simply going to youtube.com/OmniTalkRetail, because seeing us in video and is the best way to watch us. So until next week, on behalf of all of us on OmniTalk Retail, yes, especially from the Embassy Suites or Courtyard by Marriott in Milwaukee.
Don't give it. We're not. Come on, Courtyard by Marriott. Let's get. Let's give ourselves credit where credit is due.
We're
made
not high class enough to stay at the Embassy Suites.
No.
All right. On behalf of all of us at OmniTalk, as always, be careful out there.
The OmniTalk Fast Five is brought to you in association with the A&M Consumer and Retail Group. The A&M Consumer and Retail Group is a management consulting firm that tackles the most complex challenges and advances its clients, people, and communities toward their maximum potential. CRG brings the experience, tools, and operator-like pragmatism to help retailers and consumer products companies be on the right side of disruption. And Avalara. Avalara makes tax compliance faster, easier, more accurate, and more reliable for 30,000 plus business and government customers in over 90 countries. Avalara leverages 1,200 plus signed partner integrations to power tax calculations, document management, tax return filing, and tax content access. Visit avalara.com to improve your compliance journey. And Wiliot. Wiliot's ambient IoT visibility platform powered by Bluetooth tags eliminate scanning for real-time end-to-end inventory visibility. For more information, head to wiliot.com/omnitalk. And TGW. Revolutionize your grocery supply chain with TGW. Their experts tailor automation solutions to your needs, ensuring you have the edge. Work with TGW before your competition does. Discover more at tgw-group.com. And Sezzle. Sezzle is an innovative buy now, pay later solution that allows shoppers to split purchases into 4 into 3 payments over 6 weeks. To learn more, visit Sezzle.com.